Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Judges chapter 18. Now, in verse 1, we're told, in those days, Israel had no king. Now, this is given as an explanation of why everybody is losing their minds. Of course, later, it's no guarantee that people will follow God, particularly when the king himself refused to do so. But for this period in time, it explains why a lack of central leadership led to everyone doing whatever they thought was right. We live in a day and age today where that one statement, everybody did what was right in their own eyes, seems to sum up almost every talk show or comment on social media. But we're about to see one tribe in particular do what they thought was right to the detriment of the entire nation. And in the case of the Danites, or the tribe of Dan, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, we're told in this chapter that they had a hard time settling, unlike the other tribes, who seemed to take the land they inherited easily. But for the Danites, their land just seemed to get more and more taken over by the Philistines every time. This caused them to look over the fence, where the grass is always greener, by the way, so they started to take some of the tribe of Ephraim's land. After all, Ephraim was the biggest tribe with the biggest territory west of the Jordan River. So the tribe of Dan sends spies over into Ephraim to see what they could steal in the big land grab of the book of Judges. Verse 2 tells us, so the Danites sent five of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them, go, explore the land. So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, so they turned in there and asked him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here? He told them what Micah had done for them and said, he's hired me, and I'm his priest. Then they said to him, please inquire of God to learn whether our journey will be successful. The priest answered them, go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval. Man. So the five men left and came to Laish, where they saw that the people were living in safety, like the Sidonians, at peace and secure. And since their land lacked nothing, they were prosperous. Also, they lived a long way from the Sidonians and had no relationship with anyone else. When they returned to Zorah and Eshtol, their fellow Danites asked them, how did you find things? And they answered, come on, let's attack them. We've seen the land and it's very good. Aren't you going to do something? Don't hesitate to go there and take it over. And when you get there, you'll find an unsuspecting people and a spacious land that God has put into your hands. A land that lacks nothing, whatever. Yeah, hey, way to go, guys, because that totally sounds like God at work. Hope you picked up on that sarcasm, but in a way, it was kind of how they had seen God work in the past. I mean, that was what they did when they came into the land, except the people who inhabited the land were stronger than them. Here, we see them saying, hey, these people are weaker. Let's go get them. When they first entered the land, it was against impossible odds under Joshua's leadership. And when they entered the land to take it, it did have God's approval. But two things make this different. Number one, it wasn't their own people they were fighting. Number two, it wasn't a people who were weaker than them. That said, this is again just part of the downward spiral that we find Israel in as it circles the drain as a nation that's forgotten God. Now, they're stealing land from each other, attacking their weaker brothers, and calling it God's will. That's what idolatry does, by the way. When we craft God in our own image, we believe he is like us, that he thinks like us. In the Old Testament, God actually speaks back to his people, and he says, you thought that I was altogether like you. You thought that I think as you think, with man's thoughts. But here's a wake-up call. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are beyond your thoughts. You might have heard this before, where people begin to put words into God's mouth. The God I believe in would never send people to hell. And that's true, but not in the way that they mean it. That is true. People choose to go to hell. They may not think, hey, I'm going to choose what's behind door number two, knowing good and well that it leads to an eternity of pain and suffering. No, instead, what they do is like what it says in this book, that people do what's right in their eyes. And when confronted with the gospel, the good news of the love of Jesus and that he died for them, they want nothing to do with it. When warned about hell, they laugh. At the end of the day, people choose to go to hell. And at the end of eternity, God gives them their way. Another common thing to hear, particularly from celebrities, is the God I believe in is a God of love, and he accepts me whatever I do. Well, yes and no. Yes, he accepts you if you place your faith in Christ and the bad works that you do get covered under the blood of Jesus. But when you do them, if God's Spirit is in you, according to 1 John, those things are going to bother you. You're not going to be flippant about them. You won't be passe about your sins. Instead, they're going to bother you. They're going to get under your skin, torment you, and cause you pain and some suffering. And the Holy Spirit will use that to bring you to repentance. When I worked as an RN, I worked in a psych hospital on a drug rehab ward. We would often help people that were trying to get off substance, alcohol, drugs, but there was a particular drug that we would administer, a medication that you would give alcoholics who were trying to get sober, that when they had a drink, it made them violently ill. It made them want to die as they puked their insides out. It was called Antabuse. It makes you miserable, and it starts to teach the brain that it does not want alcohol. Like I said, it's a last-ditch effort, and it doesn't always work. And to be honest, people don't really want to put themselves through that kind of hell. But it is effective. And in the end, that is often what it means to have God's Holy Spirit within us. You can't be fully happy in your sin. But with all this rhetoric going around, people like the Danites, they're not fooling God. They're just lying to themselves. In the end, this idolatry has lasting consequences. The tribe of Dan actually becomes an idolatrous tribe, the first in Israel's history. In the end, the Danites encounter Jonathan the high priest, and what they do is they actually kidnap him, the idol, and they head north to Laish, the city that they're going to capture, and they get there, burn it to the ground, and kill everyone inside and set up shop there. It's kind of like an Idols R Us reopening. In verse 30, we're told, "And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land." And that refers, by the way, to the time of the Babylonians. So here we have what's called a redaction. A redaction might be helpful to talk about because you're going to encounter it anyways eventually. What's a redaction, you might ask? Well, it's a later addition to the text of the Bible. I can remember the first time I encountered this, someone tried to tell me the Bible wasn't true because it had redactions. But the Bible actually tells you that Hezekiah and his scribes actually edited a few things in the Bible. So the Bible actually tells you that there are some notations added. Just like in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses can't obviously record his own death, but somebody actually recorded it for him. We believe very strongly in the infallibility and inspiration of Scripture, and this should not give us any trouble at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul very rarely wrote his own letters. He dictated them to a scribe, usually Tychicus, and in Galatians he says, "See with what large letters I write with my own hand," referring to the eye trouble he got from getting malaria in the region of Turkey where Galatia was. Now, we wouldn't say that Paul's letters are any less inspired by the Holy Spirit now, would we? Simply because he didn't write them with his own hands? No, and verse 30 is a helpful tidbit that the Holy Spirit in his wisdom chose to put in there to help us understand that the consequences of something very small would have a huge impact into the future.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.